And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit there.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again.
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. Do you hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.
I think he got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome to a Orlando edition of the Warriors All 82, or Warriors Plus Minus podcast, I should say. Tim Kawakami is on with me. I am leaving. Is it still Amway Center? No, it's something else center now. I'm walking back to my hotel, so you're getting a walking version of the Warriors Plus Minus podcast. I got about four blocks to my hotel. So, yeah, interesting night in Orlando, and it's nice weather. I like Florida weather this time of year.
Nice and muggy for you there, Slater?
I'll take muggy. I'll take it over the start of this trip, which was blizzardy.
Yep.
It's been a weird trip. To go from a blizzard to the Miami-Orlando back-to-back was quite something.
Yep. The NBA, they like to throw those at you.
A Florida back-to-back combo win, 2-0 in Florida. And honestly, they played pretty well in Minnesota. It was just kind of a bad loss at the end. But generally, again, has been the theme of the season. They've been a better road team. Obviously, the story of the night is, Draymond Green gets tossed 4 minutes into it and the ramifications of that, but then also the fact that they win the game in kind of impressive fashion. So where do you think we should start with it?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with positive this. I mean, I didn't think they had it in them. I didn't think they'd win in Miami. Now, I didn't know that Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero and all those guys were going to be out, but played a solid game in Miami. More importantly, played a real solid fourth quarter. And then don't have Kuminga to start this game on a back-to-back, which is a tough back-to-back against a really good defensive team, a really good home team. Really, what do the Warriors struggle against? Long, athletic, defensive-minded teams. Would have thought they would have very little chance in this. And then Draymond gets thrown out with 4 minutes to go and within 4 minutes into the game. And the Warriors might have played their most passionate game of the year without Kuminga and Draymond, like just given the circumstances. Thought Wiggins played incredibly. Thought Gary Payton, Sagan played really well. Thought Moody came in there when they needed him. They just got across-the-board stuff and maybe the most passionate Steph Curry game of the season. Slater, I know you're asking about that. I mean, that was the most almost near tear. I don't know what that was.
It was frustration. Yeah. It was like he was just stewing. He was red-eyed. I mean, I wouldn't call it crying. Crying seems like a little...
Not crying, but like, yeah, it was...
He was red-eyed. He was mad. He was pissed off.
He was feeling it. And I saw your video of him afterwards, and when you asked him about it, he just said, hey, we know what it is. We need Draymond out there, and we need him to know that. And, I think it's, something that's hitting, social media and, he's done with them. Warriors are done with Draymond. They're not done with Draymond. They're just mad because they're not done with him. And that's my point. They still need him. So they're mad because they want him on the court because they know they're better when they're on the court. Then they go on and rally emotionally to win this game without him. But I think the frustration is they've gone through all this with him. He's been on decent behavior since the suspensions. And then in this incredibly important game that they could pull off a huge win, he gets himself thrown out without Kuminga, but gets thrown out with 4 minutes. It's just a frustration of how important he is. Not that they're discarding him, it's just that he remains important.
Yeah, I put it in my story. It was just, I'll just say, like, kind of like an important member of the Warriors organization who I thought made a realistic realism type statement to me when I was talking to him post game about it. It was just like, what, did we just think he was never going to get ejected again?
Yep.
Is that
yep.
Draymond was just going to return yep. and never talk to refs and never get ejected again? Yep. Like, this was always going to happen, number one. And then number two, it was like, you know, we can do a better job of getting him away. It's a little bit on the veterans at times, drag him away from the referees in that situation. That's number two. And number three, which this team has not done well this season, respond. Play well through adversity. Win games that you're not supposed to win. Close games when you need to close them. Beat good teams. And it was like, that was the positive feeling generated from the locker room, was like, you know, they won a game they weren't supposed to. Marcus, who is now on with us, we talked about this last time. Like, it's one of the things Draymond was upset about in Minnesota. It's like, they haven't stolen enough of these games. Well, they kind of, you know, they got one tonight. So, and then the other thing is, and this is just how sports work. I was laughing with one of the players in the postgame locker room, but it was like, you know, kind of like, hey, is this going to be easy to move on from this? And it was like, well, yeah, we won. Like, it didn't cost anything, right? I mean, that's just how sports works. Like, if they lost, this is a bigger story. They didn't lose. Draymond is kind of saved a little bit because of that.
I just want to point out that I kind of said this would happen, so I feel like he wasn't saving Draymond. He was validating me, he being Steph Curry with his closing antics. Because I called, I don't know, TK, if you heard, but I called that they were going to win the rest of this road trip.
Well, they still got one. They still got two left, MT. They still
these
got two left.
These are the ones they might, I could totally see them going into Charlotte with a letdown game.
Which one is more worrying to you, Charlotte or San Antonio?
I'm thinking that. I would have said San Antonio, but I'm thinking Charlotte's going to be tough. One day off. When's the last time we had a great Steph game in Charlotte?
Oof, I can't remember. Yeah, that was about 3 years, 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a while. And they've lost, like, I think the last four in Charlotte. So I would have said San Antonio because they're going to play hard and Wimby, and it's the end of a road trip. But this one is going to be tough. It took a lot to beat the Magic. And, you know, if they get Kuminga back, that will help. But now you're going into a place. Unless Steph does something. Unless he plays better. He's played, what, two games now where he hasn't been great. So, like, maybe he's due for a game. But then it's Charlotte, and he tends to, like, do a little too much at home. So this one, I think, is a what do you call it, TK? A trap game. That's what it is, a trap game. After the night they've had and the emotional win they've had. But aside from that, like, I mean, this is kind of who the Warriors have been, and why I understand why they say they're shocked to be here. Because even though, like, they're a 10 seed, like, that's what their record is, but it feels like the team that went in and won this game should not be a 10 seed. Like, what it took from them, what they had, the kind of depth they had, they hit down two starters. They do, this is what they do. And then at some point, here, at, you know, over these last 10, 11 games, they're going to again look like a 10 seed, right? But you kind of could predict this response based on how down everything seemed after they lost that Minnesota game. So, yeah, I still think they're going 4-1 on this road trip. I'm looking pretty good, though, right? I mean, my prop bets are looking better than Jontay Porter. So, all
right. Oh, are you sure Jontay Porter's prop bets are easy money?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
He actually did hit, right? Yeah.
I've been trying to eat in more often lately, so I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it onto Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals, plus free shipping on your first box, and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I would say this. Your prop bets look better than Shohei Ohtani because they were not winning money.
Ipe Mizuhara.
Innocent. Shohei is innocent.
Wow, Slater.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Wiggins was like, they were so fired up about Wiggins' game post-game. I mean, you saw Steph on the court, but even afterwards, like, really kind of pointed out. We talked to Wiggins for a while. It felt like he had just iced down the body. Like, it feels like the back-to-back kind of had its toll on him. But it was just, so we sit baseline, like, right near the bench in Orlando, and some of the shots he was making, he had one on the baseline over Jonathan Isaac, who's like might be the best defender in the league, you know, this season. It was just like so tough, and it is crazy when you see these type of individual scoring performances from him juxtaposed against what we've seen at times this season, which has been can't make layups, floating in and out of games. It's just, I don't know. I mean, he just changes their team when he plays like this.
No question. Yeah, and this is 2022 Finals Wiggins. Everybody said it. Everybody, and this probably was his best game. I call it his most important game, certainly, since the 22 Finals. Without Kuminga, with Draymond thrown out, if Wiggins doesn't have this game, they lose. There's just not a question about it. This late in the season, Houston charging. Houston then wins in Oklahoma City, Slater. I mean, Jesus, Houston is coming.
Without Shea,
all right, but it's still, you know, Houston.
That's coming. A great win. That's a great
Houston's
win.
Houston's coming, but this is what they saw from Wiggins in 2022. Hadn't seen really since. But also, like, I was at the Giants game, and I had several people like, "Hey, when the Warriors are done, why don't they just break it up? When are they going to break up the Warriors?" And it's just hard, you know. The point is, and that was without me knowing they're going to even beat Miami, which they were doing as I was talking to people, and then to win this one, this is why you don't break them up, because the value is in what this is. You start breaking them up, you get less value. You're not getting equal value for anybody on this team, you know, with the possible exception of Kuminga, possible exception of Steph. But then you can't do either one of those guys, right? You can't trade either one of those guys. You're not breaking it up because you still have to sustain it for this. This doesn't come around very often, and maybe we won't see it, you know, in a play-in game or whatever. But this is why you have to keep it together, because they can do this. Because Andrew Wiggins can do this. Because Steph can have a mostly lousy game. I mean, that's a really good defense that was really focused on him. Suggs is a really good defender. All those guys are long. But then he hits the game winner, you know, the driving layup to keep the lead, and then the three, the night-night. Like, this is why you still have this bunch together. Kevon Looney pops back in. I know he played last night, but he's in again because Draymond's out. This is why you don't bust it up, because there is still stuff there. Might not be title winning stuff, but they're 20-15 on the road. Like, that's a solid, solid road season. It's just the home record's been terrible. But I'm just into my head, because I've heard people say it, and I don't really disagree with the kind of the general thing. Like, maybe this should be restarted, but the restarting would be such a difficult thing. It would literally be the end of the Steph Curry era, and you just can't get to the end of it. They cannot be in that position. And this kind of game, then there's been a few others spread throughout, you know, this season, is why you don't go, okay, let's wrap it down to the studs and let's just start. No, you have this. You still have this, and this, whether it's this season or, you know, as I've written, maybe one last run next season, is why you keep it together as best you can. You don't have to, you know, be totally devoted to every single piece that won the championship, but the spirit of it, the core of it, you still keep that together. And tonight and last night were two reasons why.
Marcus, we didn't really get too much of your thoughts just on, like, the Draymond ejection, the Steph response to it, and just generally the delicate situation they navigate with all that. I mean, I don't know if you have any deeper thoughts on it. But.
What thoughts I have, I'm trying to get together for The Athletic, but since after, right? Yeah, I mean, it's just a unique, you know, you just don't see Steph that emotional or that, you know, especially publicly. So I actually think this is part of what Steve Kerr was talking about. You know what I'm saying? I do think this is this on, like, he didn't get, you know, to that emotional state, like, all tonight. Like, that type of stuff happens when you're tired, right? And, like, emotionally exhausted. And this has been, like, a super emotionally long season. And you could kind of see it, you know, you could see it in his shots. You know, tonight was, I think TK said it on Twitter, but, like, this was, like, one of them dig deep, grit and grunt, find it, like, battle claw, not much is going well. And that stuff is exhausting. And you could see, like, it's crazy how hard he clearly wants this, even though they're battling for a 10 seed. Like, it's not like he's not like, man, whatever. Like, he's all in on this fight to save a play-in spot, which is kind of very definitive of this Warriors team and how they got to win four championships. But, I mean, how many people are doing that, right? Like, how many people are that locked in where – you know, you expected a championship. Now you're fighting off the Rockets and you're so, like, you know, into it that this really flips you over the edge. Like, to me, I'm writing something along the lines of that, but I haven't fully formulated my thoughts.
Well, and then part of that is because there's been so many of those type of games this season that also ended in a loss. I can't imagine the locker room tonight if they had lost. Like, it was generally jovial, obviously, they had won. But he's just gone through so many of these this season that also included, like, you know, Jokic banking in a 40-footer at the buzzer. LeBron hitting two free throws in double overtime. Remember, he's ripping his jersey in half almost.
Chet Holmgren.
Yep, Chet Holmgren, corner three.
Twice, and then the foul, right?
The Sacramento
don't
game,
forget Sacramento,
he screwed up, right? He had two really bad turnovers. So, you know, and that's part of a losing season. But, yeah, and that's part of what he's trying to drag this team out of so they don't have to feel this way. But, yeah, you know, I don't know. It's a very interesting night, but then you're like, yeah, okay, they're one up for the 10. 3 weeks from now, this might have zero relevance because they're not even in the playoffs. But for now, they are clawing. Like, it does matter to them, which – I think creates better theater, at least for the last.
In most situations, especially most superstars and players who, like, you know, expect to win a championship. I don't know. It feels like you expect more of a. Well, it is what it is, and you know, you even heard from behind the scenes, like this. I don't want to say doubt, but the sense of, man, we don't really have what we need. You know, like, all year, like, we don't have it together. We're not. Like, there's this sense that you can get there eventually, but, you know, even Draymond's, we don't care about the Rocket, or I don't give a damn about the Rockets, is partly like, because what's happening in here is just not on point. So, like, this idea that is not, after all this has happened, after the clear, obvious, they're battling for 9 or 10 seed at best, you could be like, man, it is what it is. This is who we are. But so to see Steph so, like, how could you do this right now while we're battling for the 10 seed? It was shocking to see.
Yeah, I think we all also know, though, and you know, Steve Kerr talked about this when Draymond got suspended the second time, and it was like Draymond's fighting for his career. They talked about, like, they're protecting a legacy, right? They want to go out the right way. I think Steph isn't doing that tonight because he's like, ha ha, now the path to the championship is back. It's more just like he's fighting, they're fighting as a dynasty to, like, still show a respectful level of, like, competitiveness that they feel like represents themselves well. And I think you know what he did tonight too? He really, I think, saved the Warriors and Draymond from a much more ferocious news cycle tomorrow. If they lose this game because of the Draymond ejection, or, you know, it would be pinned up as because of the Draymond ejection, they're facing a lot of stuff tomorrow that they don't like facing. They're now not, right? I mean, they'd still be talked about it, but they won.
It's on SportsCenter right now. So as you're saying that, but yeah, they won. It's a different discussion. It'll still be a discussion. Draymond out of control. I mean, that stuff's always going to be out there with this team.
But correct, a victory changes that. You know, a successful play-in run changes that a little bit. I just thought, and I said this again on Twitter, but the look and step side, I thought like that was a little Game 7's Kings without the 50 points, right? He didn't shoot like that. But, you know, the speech the night before, the look in his eye on the floor during that game, the feeling afterwards was like, this is going to happen. This is, guys, this is going to happen. This is going to be a victory. And you can come with me on it or you don't have to come with me, but we're going to win this game. Now, he did not do it himself. 10 assists was nice. You know, there at the end, there certainly was the, you know, much better with him on the court than with him not on the court, but just that move, the look in his eye when he was with Wiggins afterwards, like there was some of that, like it's the sustaining of this, like this
36
thing is,
minutes tonight, yeah, by the way,
yeah, which is the interesting, they're gonna keep him to 30, I guess they're not keeping him to 30. That 30 minute thing is still bizarre to me.
Bang, like basically what was different tonight? Why 36 instead of 30, essentially, was
what. No, I missed that.
And he was like, why is this even a topic? Like, I'm paraphrasing here. People can go. But he's like, well, I don't understand why this is a topic. The minutes, a few minutes here and there. Like, why are we even talking about this?
Yeah.
He was like really upset by the idea that this has become a hot topic.
Yeah, it's a sensitive topic. Understandable. I mean, he might not be pleased with us for focusing on it. That's the way it goes. Steph minutes are just have always been a thing. They will consistently be a thing. It's a thing with Steph. It's a thing with the team. Like, this is an interesting way to look at how they play the games. The fourth quarter is where these games are being decided. Every single friggin' Warriors game is decided in the fourth quarter, and if Steph misses a big chunk of it, which means he doesn't play more than 33 minutes, there's going to be focus on it. So the way it's, hey, that's, hey, he can be, Steve cannot love the conversation. There's still going to be conversation. It's still going to affect the way we look at this team, and this team is valued by everybody. But, you know, I mean, you know, this might take a toll from Steph too. Like, he might be played 36 minutes and he might be have no legs. You know, Chris Paul had no legs tonight. I mean, Slater, you were there, but I thought he had no legs and played 17 minutes and couldn't bring the ball up against Cole Anthony.
Yeah, second straight game he's been pick six.
Yep.
And Cole Anthony then like roared in his face. I don't know if the TV caught this after. And you could Chris Paul was just biting his tongue. Like,
yeah. Really, well, they called timeout because they couldn't get the ball. Like, they didn't want, you know, so they had to switch it and have Wiggins bring it up, I think. Like, that's just an older player, older point guard, and it was a struggle. There were probably some dead legs, as we've seen from, you know, various Warrior veterans through this season. There, you know, it's tough on a back to back. Maybe Steph has some dead legs the next game. Maybe it's two games. Who knows? But I just think he was not going. I guess he waved Kerr off on one sub, right, for like at least a possession. Kerr and Pajemski in there not the start of the fourth quarter, but a couple minutes in the fourth quarter. Steph kind of waved.
So it was like 3:45 or so left, and Kerr went to take him out, and he didn't want to come out, but Kerr had to explain to him. It was literally they were just about to play a defensive possession, and then he was going to call timeout. So they just played one defensive possession without him, and they called timeout.
Yep. But, you know, he started fourth. You know, that was different. So
they found six extra.
Stuff that we're gonna be, yeah. And I think there might have been Steph's, you know, there might be some understanding, hey, let's not do that again. Let's 30 minutes is not, you know, what was it, 7 minutes of the fourth quarter? Maybe more than 7 minutes in the fourth quarter. But, hey, you know, listen, it's his body, it's the Warriors, you know, Rick Celebrini, like all these things are factors. We're not just saying it's easy. It's hard to figure this all out. But it was interesting. The back and forth was interesting. The Curry emotion was interesting. And as MT was saying, he's not chucking this season. No way. And we knew that, right? We knew he wasn't going to chuck this season. And if he's not going to chuck this season, nobody on the Warriors can chuck this season. They cannot. They have to fight for everything they can get. And we'll see what they are.
To do it the way they did it tonight, I think they might have had 14 offensive rebounds. It was their young guys. Trayce Jackson-Davis, 14 rebounds. Pajemski had 8 in the first half. Moses Moody had 2 huge offensive rebounds. Kirk called the biggest rebound in the game, that skying one he had, and then he kicked it to Clay for 3. He also had a putback dunk. I just thought the young, like, this team's young guys are kind of at times in environments like this can feel like the stable part of the operation. Which is crazy. You know, they're the ones giving them these, like, small little possessions. And that's just, I don't know. It's just an interesting aspect of this team. everybody's gone quiet.
Look, I'm trying to unmute here. Just think where they'd be without him. But I was kind of thinking about that. Like, it's not like they had a bad offseason. They had a good offseason, and they're in this place. Can you imagine if they didn't have TJD, didn't have Pajemski, if Kuminga had not taken this step, where they would be right now? It would not be pretty. And even with these pluses, and Chris Paul and Saric was fine for the first segment of the season. They didn't have those guys. Where would they? They would be like 13th in the West, even with Steph being mostly healthy. And I mean, obviously Draymond went through his stuff, but they've got more players. They got more. And Moody plays well. Like, we talk about this almost every time he doesn't play.
It's crazy how Moody doesn't play after playing like this.
Yeah, it's like crashing the board. He doesn't make shots. He's not making a shot, but he does other stuff. He just flies to the rim. He's nobody blocks him out. He's at the rim. He's following up. It's like, you just would think that would be worth some minutes. Again, it's not as easy as us just saying it, but they are deeper because these players can play. They got guys who can jump. GP2 tonight was fantastic.
Oh, what? Just say that again, please. Yeah,
five for five.
And no, he missed that layup last game, and he was focused on making his layup. He even had a right hand layup. You see that?
He was great.
He had a ridiculous block from behind.
Chased down, slammed his hand. That was so hard.
He blocked it.
He was talking in the post game locker room how, like, his hand had gone numb for a while, or like wrist or whatever, because he just. I mean, and that was a block. But yeah, no, he was good.
He was, and he was like guarding Paula, right?
He started the second half in Draymond's place, and then Moody was the one who actually came in for Draymond right when Draymond got ejected. And
they went on that run, 17-3.
The Moody playing time distribution has understandably been frustrating to a lot of people, but it is a pretty fortunate aspect of their team that Draymond can get tossed and you feel like, man, they're going to be reeling, and then you just see him sub in Moses Moody, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's kind of interesting. I'm ready to watch some Moses Moody minutes. Like, he could help.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So
they got depth. And
how about them going with Gui Santos over Dario Saric tonight?
Hey, he was minus 16 too in like 5 minutes.
That was one where I'm watching him go, it doesn't look like he's playing very well. Let's look at this plus minus. And that's when the plus minus went, yeah, that is what I've seen. He is just getting torched out there.
But he hit that big three, though. He hit the three.
Kerr mentioned it several times that he hit that big three. And hey, give him credit for it. He did hit that three. It's an emergency situation. I give him full credit for it. It was tough, though. Those were tough minutes. But everything helps. Everything helps when you win a big game like that. And they, you know, do it without Draymond and do it without Kuminga. Again, you win a back-to-back against a really good team. And Orlando's a really good team. Now, Chris Mullin was ripping him on the post game, which I give him credit for. He was being honest. He does not.
Wait, who did he rip?
the Magic because they can't shoot. Oh. He says they're going out.
I mean, he basically told him to go get Clay. He's like, hey, Clay, if I'm Clay's agent.
Yep. It was wild. He was on something. And it was interesting. I'm glad he was that interested. I've had these conversations with him. He's not like teams that can't shoot, period. Just doesn't matter what else they do.
I mean, it's not surprising that Mullen wouldn't like.
Exactly.
The Hall of Fame shooter. Like,
this was
like,
an extreme for the Magic, right? This was an extreme poor
shooter. I mean, generally they can't shoot, but this was terrible, right? Yep. This was bad.
They had no outside shooting, but except for Cole Anthony. But it was a tough game for the Warriors. Again, no matter what, whatever the Magic were doing, they got those defensive players. They win games at home. They just do. And the Warriors did it without Kuminga, without Draymond, two of the top, seven. And two of the top five, I mean, two of their starting lineup, basically. And I just thought it was a tough game. I just it was a really impressively toughness shown in what they do and who they are. And we'll see if, you know, again, this is turn around and lose to Charlotte, then this one isn't worth that much. But I was impressed. I was surprised they won this game. And you got to chalk that up to them. I was just looking, though. Just Pajemski, I don't, you know, what made a couple baskets. He's got more rebounds. He's a two guard than made baskets this season. 359 rebounds and 231 made baskets. That's pretty amazing. That is, I don't know the last two guard that would have done that. 6'3" guy has more rebounds than total made baskets.
You know what he did make tonight?
GB2?
Yeah. Say again?
GB2 will be my guess.
I guess so, but he doesn't have that many rebounds. Like he's not, you know, he's not a volume rebounder. Pajemski's just a volume rebounder. He's just chasing down rebounds. It is a remarkable talent he's got for finding the ball, and I give him credit for it.
You know what Shotty made tonight? He was happy about it post game.
The running lefty hook.
The running lefty sweeping first one hook.
They were cheering on the bench like it was the first time he made it.
He was. We were kind of chatting with him post game. Like, when's the last time you made that? He said he hit one over PBJ when they played the Wizards. I was like trying to remember it.
I don't know if it was like that. I don't know if it was like that one was a pure running lefty from about 8 feet or something like that. I mean, it was impressive. He's tried it and he's missed it wildly a few times, but. That was a nice shot. I don't think the Magic knew that he was left-handed because several times they just let him get to his left, but that's all right. He gave them good minutes. They needed good minutes from everybody, you know, obviously down as many as they were. And TJ, I thought TJD was really good. I thought Looney was really good. Like, they needed all those guys. He's got great hands. He just swipes the ball out of the air, and that is not something that a lot of the guys can do. But, you know, just it's a talent, a hand-eye coordination.
He, like, finishes really. Like, he's got a very slick little lefty off the glass. You would think, like, quick, he's a dunker, right? Jumper. He's going up. Yeah, he can just, like he's going up to dunk and then sneak it in. Just a few times I just thought, like, he was going to get it blocked. But he just – it's maybe it's a lefty thing. He could just get it really quick off the glass into the rim.
He's not.
Which is weird for a dunker.
Like, Gobert, I believe, got him once in Minnesota. But, like, he, you know, if you're going to finish well, you need to be able to want to finish through shot blockers at times, and he does that.
He keeps the ball high. I think that's the, like, he just keeps the ball high. Doesn't bring it down so he can get knocked around, and he finishes high. And he's going to have to be better on his free throws. He can work on that.
He's got a nice form, but, so both.
Yeah, you figure,
almost hit a half quarter. I kind of thought it was going for a second. Yeah.
His first,
I mean, it hit the rim. Hit the rim. Wasn't bad. You know what's crazy? What's crazy about this team is, like, the markers that we used to, like, kind of use to show, like, especially, like, during the heyday, where it's like, you know, everybody's saying it's a shooter. It's like, nah, this team wins because of these little toughness markers, right? And the crazy part is they have them this year, and it's not – it doesn't work. Like, I mean, look at their road record. I mean, what is tougher than back-to-backs? And they are lights out on back-to-backs. The second night of back-to-backs, that used to be like the sign of, you know, of a team that has like this certain will, like, we're not going to lose back-to-backs. So they have the like great road record, the really good back-to-back record, and it doesn't even matter. They're still a 10 seed. Well, it's just crazy.
because they get pounded at home after like 3 days of rest.
No, that's those rested at home unbelievable. Games. Unbelievable.
But you would think the same players are out. You would think the same like force of will that makes them show up on back to backs on the road would like actually work at home, but it doesn't. This is an odd team.
Yeah, if they were having a normal season, they probably like would have rested their guys, right? This would have been like, four guys rested. They would have had several of these, but
well, one guy rested, just was 4 minutes into the game, so
be ready tomorrow. Yeah, he should be ready.
They also say Kuminga. They think they're hoping can play in Charlotte. Also, they call it.
Do you rest Steph?
Tendonitis.
Do you rest
Steph in Charlotte?
Not in Charlotte. They don't rest. Maybe
that might be why you. He did rest in Charlotte once, right? Or was he?
Yeah. Remember he got pulled right before the game. Remember that?
Yeah, he got sick. That's what it was. Yeah.
We thought it was COVID because that was the COVID era, and it was done in a very like, "Sir, you have COVID. Come to the back." type of.
But it wasn't. But it wasn't COVID.
It wasn't. I don't think you rest Steph any game because like you just kind of have to win every game. So.
Yeah, I think you might want to rest CP. I don't know, maybe this will get tossed around in that locker room, but I said that. But I think he might need a rest. He did not look good tonight. Did not look good. And, it's a lot of wear and tear on that body. You know, a lot of seasons. And, man, when he does not want to bring the ball up against Cole Anthony, when he literally cannot bring the ball up against Cole Anthony, that's a little bit of a red light to me. It's just a little bit of, not sure that his legs are there. So, he's not playing big minutes, but maybe he takes a rest and Steph keeps playing. I don't know that they can win without Steph being out there, and they do need wins. Like, they got to win those next two games to fulfill Marcus, first of all, right? It's always that.
Correct.
But beyond that, then they don't want to get fall behind the Houston Rockets secondarily. I've been saying it for a while. April 4 in Houston, I think that's going to be for the 10 seed. There's games after that. We know it. There's games leading up to it. But I just think if the Warriors can beat
Doesn't matter. Houston's never losing again.
So. Then they're going to be the 9 seed. They're not going to be the 10. But I think that's going to be for the 10 seed. I just think that. And by the way, is the 10 that – I mean, I know travel is – they don't want to travel more, but they're better on the road. So wouldn't they maybe even rather play the Lakers?
The 10 than the 9? Yeah. I mean, it feels that way. Joe Lacob.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, then they win it, then another road game. I mean, it's going to pile up. But I almost think they got a better shot against the Lakers in L.A. than they do at Staples. When they do at Chase Center. They're just better on the road, period. I mean, I can't explain it. There are probably a lot of good reasons for it. I don't know all of them. Circle the wagons, maybe. But they're 20-15 on the road. And what are they? They're under 500 at home. It's a wild thing, especially after last season. But it's where they are.
Weird season at Charlotte Friday, at San Antonio Monday. A quick return home for a Mavericks game. And then a Rockets-Mavericks back-to-back Houston-Dallas. So a lot of games coming. We'll see what happens. We will talk to you.
And Lakers after that, right?
Yeah, Mavericks. Lakers are pretty soon. Is that right after that?
It's the 9th.
I think they might have a Jazz Sunday home game right before that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There is a Jazz.
Where are you, Slater? Now you're not walking anymore, so where are you?
I'm in the M Club Lounge in the Marriott.
The M Club Lounge. Oh, what an important. No.
I'm sure it's going really rocking hard in the M Club Lounge.
There's zero people in here besides me, which is nice. It is
very it's like you're in a hangar or something. I was wondering where you were.
Hopefully it wasn't that bad of sound quality. But
is it as nice as the one in Houston?
No, but it's close.
You just say that, then Ethan's going to hear listen to this because he loved that. He loved that when you guys were writing in that room. So.
Oh, yeah. One of his career moments.
All right, y'all.
All right, guys.
Thank you, sir.